Danny. I'm like the DH over here now, too. So today, I've been thinking about something. I'd like to throw it by you guys. It's very interesting. We're going to go back into the Old Testament. And we're going to look at something old and something new. A new way to look at it. If you turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And you're thinking to yourself, maybe you are thinking to yourself, maybe you're not. What's in Exodus chapter 20? The law. Specifically, we're going to look at one of them. And just have some new thoughts about it. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. I'm going to read it for you. You can follow along in your Bible. And it says this: Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now there is a companion verse in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 5. We will have to go there. We will have to go there. But for right now, I want to start by prefacing this sermon. The first point I want to make is that we are no longer under the Old Testament law. Okay, I just want to get that straight. Okay, and we're going to be hopping around, looking at some things. So if you would, flip to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I hope you brought your Bibles. If you didn't, maybe you can sit with somebody and borrow theirs. Romans chapter 10. Otherwise, just listen. But I want you to understand something. Even though that I'm talking about the Sabbath day, I want you to understand something. The Christian is no longer under the Old Testament. And that includes all the laws, not just the 10. And it includes the Sabbath. Okay, a lot of Christians get hung up on that. The Sabbath was for the Jews. It was part of the Old Covenant. We are in the New Covenant. The Old Covenant was put away. And we're going to read that. Romans chapter 10, verse 4, it says this: For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Did you catch that? Christ is the end of the law. Christ is the end of the law. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And again, if you don't want to turn there and you just want to listen, that's fine. I am reading out of the ESV, so it might sound a little different than what you have. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23, starting verse 23, it says this: Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. Did you catch that? We're no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. In other words, that law kept you in prison under the law until Christ came. And it pointed to Christ. And when Christ came, you moved to Christ, and now you are no longer under that law. Okay? One more verse, Ephesians chapter 2. Right next door in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. It says this. I have to find it first. See, there's little tiny numbers in my book now. There used to be all on the side when I had my King James. All the numbers were on the side. Now they're real tiny and they're spread out in the text. And, you know, for guys like me who are losing our sight and our hearing and everything else, our brain, this is hard. It's hard for me. But it says this in verse 14, it says, For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and who has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. He took it out of the way. He took it out of the way. When Christ died on that cross, was buried, and rose again from the dead, he created what was called the new covenant. And it was the covenant of grace. And when he did that, he fulfilled the Old Testament. He fulfilled that old covenant. And it was set aside. We no longer have to do that. The Sabbath is part of that. And you're saying, but we keep a Sabbath. Well, no, not really. We don't. The Sabbath was what day? Do you remember? Saturday. We celebrate on what day? Sunday. And that's the Lord's Day. Right? The old covenant, it was the Sabbath and it was Saturday. But when the new covenant came along, he changed the day to Sunday. And it's called the Lord's Day. It's different. Because now we remember Jesus Christ on that day in his death, burial, and resurrection. So we're under not the law of the Old Testament anymore, but we're under the law of Christ, right? That's the new covenant. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 40. And this, he sums it up. Jesus sums it up. And he says this, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Remember, the ruler came to him. Jesus said unto him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then what does he say? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Did you catch that? The law and the prophets is summed up in two things. The law of Christ. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. And if you do those two things, you have fulfilled the law. Now the problem is, of course, we're sinners and we can't do anything. We mess everything up. But if we would just love God and love our neighbor, that fulfills the law. That's the law of Christ. In Galatians 6:2, it says, Bear ye one another's burdens as to fulfill the law of Christ. Love your neighbor as yourself. So I wanted to get that out of the way before I started talking about the Sabbath. Okay? Because I want us to be on level ground, the same ground, right ground. Okay? We are no longer under the New Testament law. But I'll tell you what, there are some really cool things that you can learn from the Old Testament. Am I right? Yeah, that's right. Now, in looking at the law, you know that right before they received the law, they were slaves, right? They were slaves in the land of Egypt. And they had come out of Egypt, they come into the promised land, and Moses in Mount Sinai receives the law, these Ten Commandments. And God wrote them himself. This is the character of God, the holiness of God shown in the law. And I want to start, if you look at verse 8 of chapter 20. Go back to Exodus. If you're not there, go back there. And listen to what it says. It says this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And stop right there. Remember the Sabbath day. Stop. Did you hear what he said there? Stop. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Separate. Sanctified. There's something about this day that is important. Right? And I'm going to throw some things out to you that maybe you've not thought of before. But maybe it's time we do think about it and how precious it is. Number one, the first thing I want you to see is the fact that it elevates the human being. And I'm not saying this in a prideful way, okay? Because I know pride comes before a fall, and pride is one of the greatest sins of human being. It was the sin of Lucifer in heaven, was pride. And I'm not saying it in that manner. But think about this. All through human history, men have been a beast of burden to those in power. Am I right? Or am I right? Think of kings and queens. Think of despots and tyrants. Think of emperors. And in all their lands, all throughout history, what have people been? Beasts of burden for somebody. And they have worked and worked and worked. And the king puts his serfs to work. And a tyrant puts his underlings to work. And the, you know, the emperor, everybody works. And they work. right? And when you think of beast and burden, you think of maybe a cow or a yak or a horse, right, or something like that. But people have been that way. And people are still that way. And what the Sabbath does is it says, stop. Stop just for one day. Stop your working. Because you know why? You're important to me. Because there's something I want you to do for me. Rest. Stop. It takes the human being from just being a beast of burden and says, you are more than that. Because I want you to stop. And I want you to right your mind. And I want you to think right. And I want you to think about me. That's what God is saying. It elevates the human being to something more than just an animal. Than just that person that gets up and works 16, 18 hours a day. And then goes home. And that's the way humanity has been. If you look through the history of the world, it's dark. There's a lot of blood. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of suffering. Because that's what men do to each other. They hurt each other. They enslave each other. And God says, Man is important to me. I made him in my image and in my likeness, right? Genesis? Let us make man in our image and our likeness. Did he not say that? So in other words, man must be important to God. And in this one verse he says, stop. Rest. It's important to do that. We are now told to rest one day out of seven. Now here in America, right, we get the weekend. We get two. That's awesome. I like it. And if you work for GM, you get the next week off because it's shut down. So I got 9 days off in a row. But the whole point is God is saying stop because you are important. You are more than just a beast of burden. I made you and you are important to me. Now it's interesting. If you go to the book of Mark in chapter 2, I'm just going to read this to you, but think about what this says. When Jesus in chapter 2, verse 23, it says, one Sabbath he was going through the grain fields and they made their way, right? And his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing this? It's not lawful to work on the Sabbath. Right? They took it to the nth degree. And they thought the Sabbath was over man. What did Jesus say? He said this, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God, the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence. Can you believe that? They ate the showbread? They were hungry. But that's sacred. It's for the Sabbath. Wait a second. You got it all backwards, mister. It's all backwards. What does it say? And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And then he said, so the Son of Man is even Lord of the Sabbath. You understand? It's a day of rest for man. It's not a burden for man. I made this for you to rest. It's important. And so he did it. It elevates man. It gets him out of that beast of burden to something that's important, to rest. Secondly, it reminds us that we are meant to be free. We are meant to be free. Remember what I said earlier about men throughout the ages, women throughout the ages, slaves, beasts of burden. It didn't matter. Now, there were probably some kings or whatever that were nice guys and, you know, they didn't work their people to death. You know what I did see, though? I don't know if you've seen this. You can Google this on YouTube or whatever. There is a tool and die shop in China. Now, if you know anything about tool and die, dies are pretty heavy and they come down and they stamp steel and they mold it to be what it looks like. So, like, you look out on your car and you see all the steel panels on the sides. It takes huge blocks of steel to come down together and stamp that the way it looks, right? Now, let me just say, if you were to lay in that die and it were to come down, it would crush you like a pancake, right? But over in China, they have this die. It's huge, and they've got people sitting in it. And they'll take the steel from over here, and they'll put it in here, and then they'll duck. And then the die comes down, wham! And comes back up, and they stand up, and they take that piece off, hand it to the next guy, and they grab the piece, and they put it in there, and they duck. Because they don't care. Because if you think about it, if that guy dies, we'll just get another one. Do you understand that? That's how people are treated. But God says, no, 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 no. With one law, he elevates man, and he says, we are to be free. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. And this is the companion verse to where we were. But think about this. He put the law in, and listen to this. In 15, it says, you shall remember, and this is right after. In fact, let me just read it. It says this, verse 12, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your ox, your donkey, any livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant or your female servant may rest as well as you. And then he says this, listen, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Why did he say that? Right in the middle. Because we were meant to be free. Humankind was meant to be free. And man, in his sinfulness and his abusiveness, enslaves other men. And that's what he does. You know, just to be honest here, sometimes we enslave ourselves. You know a workaholic? You ever met a workaholic? You ever met one of those kind of people? Where they got to work umpteen hours a day to make umpteen thousands of dollars to save it all up so that then when they die, they give it to somebody else. Right? You can be a slave and you can make yourself a slave. But we were meant to be free. Just like the children of Israel. They were slaves in the land of Egypt, and God wanted them to be free. And he wanted them to come out of the land of Egypt and take one day and rest. Isn't that amazing? I want you to be free. And that's what the Sabbath day does. It tells us that men are meant to be more than beasts of burden, and we're meant to be free. We're meant to be able to worship God as he asks. And we can be slaves today. We can be slaves to work. We can be slaves to money. We can be slaves to all kinds of things. And people do it. Working in the automotive industry, you used to see it a lot in past years, not anymore today. But you would see guys working 70 hours a week, 80 hours a week. Money, 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 money. But I have known, I don't know how many people who have gotten to retirement age and they've retired and in 5 years they're gone. And they didn't get to spend anything. Or they've gotten sick right after they retired. My friends, listen. We're only here a short time. That's it. And we don't know. We don't know when that last day is going to be. But God says, I want you to be free. I want you to rest. I want you to think about me. Okay? Third thing. I want you to think about this too. It greatly humanized slaves. Now, in the Old Testament, I want to tell you something. It's not just the slavery that we know of today where people capture other people and put them into bondage, right? Or like the children of Israel, they were in the land of Egypt, and then that Pharaoh dies, and the next Pharaoh comes up, and he was kind of mean, and he said, now you guys are going to build the pyramids, and I'm putting you into work. Or things like that. But there was also indentured servitude in the Bible where you owed a debt and you couldn't pay it. So you would go to work for the one that you owe. And you would work your debt off. And you were a slave. And that person would say, well, you've got to work to pay this debt off completely. So even if it means working on Sabbath, you're working. Working. But what did God say? What did God say about slaves? Well, look at it. Exodus chapter 20, verse 10. It says this. If I can find the number. See, here we go again. See these eyes? But the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter. What does it say? Or your male servant or your female servant. Because people used to treat slaves very badly because they owed you or you owned them. And God's saying, I own you and I own them. I own everything, right? Because I'm the Lord. And if I say rest to you, I say rest to them. Why? Because they're important to me too. Because I want them to have a relationship with me too. That's why. So it elevates the slave. And now the one who owns them or the one who has them in servitude has to say to himself, wait a second, if the Lord cares for them, I need to care for them. Interesting, eh? Do you see what the Lord does to humanity? He lifts humanity. He tries to get us to see that humans are greater than what we think humanity is. Because I tell you what, you've got a group in the world today called ISIS, right? What do they think about humanity? Can you tell me? If you're not one of them, you're dead, right? That's not what God says. Not. God loves all men, all of them. And He raises us up. He raises us up. Isn't that amazing? Let me tell you something else too, and this is kind of, I like this, because in the New Testament we're told to fellowship. You know what fellowship means? Fellowship means fellows in the same ship. Let's say this was a ship, and you were out on the sea. How many have ever seen the movie Master and Commander? Oh my word. Okay, you have homework. Y'all have homework to do. Go rent Master and Commander, watch that whatever, Netflix. Because they're in the ship, and it's an English ship, and they're away from England. They're out in the ocean, and they're far away. And what does the commander say? This ship is England. Do you understand? We're all in this together. Fellowship. Fellows in the same ship. If you are a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're all in the same ship. We are fellows in the same ship. Fellowship. But it talks something about hospitality. In other words, you need to be inviting people over and hanging out with people and fellowshipping with people and feeding people and doing all that other stuff, right? This one command single-handedly strengthened families. Do you know why? Because it tells you to take a day off. Rest. And guess what you do when you rest? You hang out with your family, you hang out with your friends, you go out to picnic, you go out to this, you go do that, you do whatever, right? That's what it's for. Now, some like me, I'm going to go home after preaching and take a nap. But then I get up and I hang out with my kids and my wife. And maybe you have friends over and you have a barbecue or you do whatever you do, right? Remember I don't remember the days, but there were days in America where Sunday most things were closed. And people went to church, and then they went home and they spent time with people from chapel or people from the neighborhood or whatever. And it strengthened the family bond, and it strengthened friends, and strengthened neighborhoods and communities. And we don't do that anymore. And you could drive, and you'll see golf courses are full, and workout places are full, and gyms are full, and bars are full, and everything's full, and churches aren't full. Unless, of course, you're entertaining people. Then they're full. But this day was supposed to be a day, and it helps fellowship. Isn't that amazing? Even today, fellowship. It's awesome. Now, this one's going to seem kind of maybe weird to some people. But in Exodus chapter 20, verse 10, and then also in Deuteronomy, where we were, right at the end it says, after it says, on it you shall do no work, your son, your daughter, your male servant, female servant, and then it says something interesting, or your livestock. Or your livestock. Now, if you were to go to Deuteronomy chapter 14, let me just read that one for you. It says this. No, what am I talking about? 14. Are you crazy? Deuteronomy chapter 5. Man. Come on, Bill. Get with the times. I'm old. I'm very old. I don't look it. Look good for 50, ain't I? So it says this. In 5, it says, observe the Sabbath day, verse 12, and it goes down. But listen to this. It says, the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, nor your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant. And then he lists it, your ox, your donkey, or your livestock. Did you just hear that? In one fell swoop, God just said that your animals are important. Your animals. Now, animals are true beasts of burden. Some of them are. You know, a rabbit's not. That's food. You know, a deer, that can be food. But a cow, a bull, a horse, right? Animals that do work. Beasts of burden. That's where it comes from. It granted animals dignity. Now, I do pose the question and say, who created all the animals? Who did that?
Well, it's evolution, brother.
Not. God created all the animals. In fact, it was cool because God brought all the animals to Adam. And Adam named them all. Because they're important. God made them. And in one sentence, God said, even your animals need to rest. Isn't that interesting? Dignity for animals. Now, some people have gone to the extreme and they love animals more than people. Right? You can kill, if you break and kill an eagle's egg, you can go to jail for 30 years. But you kill an unborn child, that's fine. See, we got it all mixed up here in America. We got all messed up. Because how does that even equate? How does it even equate one to the other? Right? That's a human being made in the image of God, and that's a bird. But God says, I love the bird. I love the cow. I created them. I made them. You take care of them. They need a day of rest also. Right? And it's interesting, because Adam and Eve were told to be stewards, weren't they? Stewards of the garden that they were placed in, of all things under their burden. Stewards. Now, a steward is one. Do you know what a steward is, by the way? Let's say you have a king, and he has all this stuff, and he likes you, right? Let's say he likes you for some reason. I don't know why he would like me, but say he likes you. And he says, hey, I want you to take care of all my stuff. And you better take care of it right. That's a steward. God says, I created this earth, and I created all these animals, and I created all these people, and you are to be a steward of this place and of those animals. Which means, one day, you're going to give an account for how you have treated my planet, my people, and my animals. Because they're mine. They're all mine. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Did you know that? That's what the Bible says. Well, he owns it all. Read at the end of the book of Job that it's him who feeds the eagles up in their place so that the mothers can go find food for them and the goats and all the animals that God takes care of. They're his. And we are stewards of it, of this creation. And he had to put in his law. Can you imagine this? He put it in his law that we are to take care of animals because we don't. We've got dog fighting rings. We've got rooster fighting rings, right? We pit animal against animal. Some people train animals to kill, right? Why do you think there's dog rescues and cat rescues? Because people mistreat animals. And you hear the stories of those poor people who you walk into their house and they've got 100 dogs in their house because they think they're doing something good, but they're not. That's abuse, folks. You can't take care of 100 dogs, right? Maybe you could take care of a few, maybe 2, 3, but not 100. And God says, let them rest. And it's interesting, this is the first national law for animals in my knowledge. I don't know of any other national law from the beginning of time that grants animals dignity. Now, I do know that there are people today that want to grant animals more rights than what we have. In fact, there are people who want to marry animals. And I think that's really strange. That's deranged, if you ask me. But nobody's asked me. But if you did, that's what I would say. So this is what God does. God lifts up the things that we say are low. And he says, these things are important to me. Imagine this. This is what the Sabbath does. Unbeknownst to most people, but when you think about it, this is what it did. This is what God is saying. God is saying, people are important to me. Animals are important to me. Slaves are important to me. These things are important to me. So they should be important to you. And so you know that they're important to me. I'm going to write it down on this rock. And I'm going to give it to Moses. And he's going to put it in the ark. And he's going to keep it as a reminder. And we're going to write it down in this book to remind everybody that I care about all these things. I have elevated all these things because you're mine. You're all mine. Isn't that amazing? And now, as I was thinking about this and listening to some other thoughts from smarter men than I, I want you to understand something. Think about the Ten Commandments. Think about just the Ten Commandments. And in the past, what do you think, 20 years, people have been trying to remove them from everywhere, right? Schools, in front of City Hall, you know, on that, where the judge sits. I mean, they can't get away from it. I mean, it's in Washington, D.C. But they've been trying to remove it. But think about this. Even if you weren't a believer, are the Ten Commandments still good to read? Yes. Right? Isn't it a good thing not to kill anybody? Isn't that a good thing? You know, it's really good to not steal from you. Right? That's a good thing. If I'm a Christian, that's a good thing. If I'm not a Christian, it's still a good thing, right? It's still good. Why do you think they're removing it? Because it's good. But this rest is available to anybody. This rest is available to everybody. Everybody can take a day off and be with their family. It's good for everybody. You don't just need to be a Christian or a Jew to take the blessing of this day and keep it for yourself. Just like it's the same thing with killing somebody. I don't have to be a Jew or a Christian or a believer to think to myself, killing somebody is not good. I'm not going to do that. Right? But I love the fact that in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, right? Because we're not in the Old Covenant anymore, we're in the New. We have the Lord's Day. We have one day God has set aside for us to remember Him, remember Jesus in His death, burial, and resurrection. And then what do you do afterwards? Do you just go home? How about you fellowship with people, with your family, with friends, with people from the church, right? Take that day. Now, I do have to say this, though. If you read Hebrews chapter 4, we no longer have one day of rest. Jesus Christ is our rest. And it says in Hebrews chapter 4, we rest every day in Jesus Christ. But he has still given us the Lord's day today to take a break from the world, clear our heads, focus on what's important, which is who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Sabbath day was for. Rest, think about me. It's exactly. And you know what? If you look through the Old Testament, how much importance God put on the Sabbath day. And he punished them for not keeping the Sabbath day. And you look at the New Testament, how many churches actually have the Lord's Supper? Not a lot. And I think it's a shame because Jesus commanded it. Right? And yet churches would rather entertain or have a study or do anything else but the Lord's Supper. And Jesus commanded we do it. And the apostles did it every week. Every week. Or more, whenever they met. See, my friends, I don't think God is happy with the church today. Because if we can't do the things that he says, written in his word, then praying about something else is, I don't know. Now listen to this. Listen to this. As my time is almost up. It says this. It says, faith in God brings us to observe the Sabbath or the day of rest. And that's true. If you were a Jew back in the Old Testament and you had faith in God, guess what you did? You observed the Sabbath, right? And today, realistically, as a Christian, you should want to celebrate the Lord's Supper. But then flip that sentence. Observing the day of rest brings us to God. I've heard stories of people sitting in the Lord's Supper and getting saved. Why? Because you talk about the fact that we are sinners and that we cannot wash away our own sin. But yet Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Son, came to this earth, became like one of us yet without sin, and died on that cross, shedding his blood to wash away our sin. And that by placing our faith in him, we have everlasting life, forever life. People can get saved at the Lord's Supper. Did you know that? That sentence can reverse itself. Faith in God brings us to observe the day of rest, but observing the day of rest can bring us to God. And even if we're a Christian and we're far away and we're wandering, tell you what, come to a Lord's Supper and worship Jesus. Get your head right. Get your mind right. Listen to this. This is really cool. I love this. Every time you keep the Sabbath or the day of rest, you are affirming that there is a creator. Ooh, did you just say that? Yeah, I did. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. What does it say? For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested on the seventh. Isn't that amazing? He throws in the middle of the Sabbath day lecture the fact that I created everything. So when you sit here and you talk about the Lord, you are acknowledging that there is a creator. Evolution, out the door. Creation, amen, brother. A creator. Of course, God made all things. And in John, Jesus made all things. And Colossians, he made all things. He's the creator. And every time you come to the Lord's Supper, you're basically saying, there is a creator. Man. And I don't know what side of the fence you stand on that one, but it's pretty clear to me. Lastly, there's two last things I want to talk to you about, and they're quick. And it's this. I've known a lot of people in my life who have committed suicide. Maybe have you known people that have committed suicide, friends or friends of friends or whatever, and they've committed suicide because to them, life is meaningless. They have gotten to that point, or they've gotten to the point where they have said, I am meaningless. Now, there was a time in my life when I actually said that, when my parents were getting a divorce, right? And kids think it's because of them. I am meaningless. But the Sabbath day, in one fell swoop, says, no, you're not. And it says it to the man, the woman, the slave, the servant, the sojourner, the stranger, the animal. No, you're not. You are meaningful to me. And life is not meaningless. And you could have gone through some hard things. Why does a five-year-old get cancer in their eye? I don't know. Because this world is a sinful place. And we have diseases unbeknownst to us everywhere. And they're just waiting, right? And you've got diseases coming into this country right now that we haven't had in years. Tuberculosis is here. Mumps and measles are coming back, right? And all these things are because we live in a sinful world. But you know what? Life is meaningful if you know Jesus. And even through the hard things, you place yourself in His hands and He carries you. The Sabbath does and speaks to all those things. Sometimes we look at the Old Testament law and we read it and we say, those are really nice words. But there's so much more. So much more. He loves us. He cares about us. And He said so, right? Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You for this word that You have given us. Thank You for the Old Testament. It teaches us. It's there for a reason. It taught the Jews and it teaches us today that You love us and You care about us, but that You also desire worship. You desire men and women to come and worship You. And so much so that You even set apart a day to do it. And we're thankful we have that day. Because I tell you what, as humans, if we weren't commanded to do it, we would forget about it. But I'm thankful, Lord, for those that are here, taking the time to set aside a day and rest. Father, we've heard the prayer requests today, and there's a lot of them. We just continue to ask that You would minister to each one. That Your grace would be great in all their lives. And today that we would take what the Sabbath means, the day of rest means, and we would begin to apply it. And that we would fellowship with others, with friends, with family, with people from the chapel. Take us here with Your blessing, we ask. In Jesus' most precious name, amen.